If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 14 through 21. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open. This will be my text for this morning. We'll be coming back to it. And as I read these verses, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we read Paul's prayer, we can't help but notice the Trinity on display. He bows his knees before the Father. He prays that we would be strengthened with the power of the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or as he says, the fullness of God. Lord, the awesome privilege Christians have through faith to experience God in His fullness. But it's important, who is this God? As we read the Creed, we saw, again, it's a Trinitarian formula. There's, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, our only Lord and Savior. I believe in the Holy Spirit. So this morning we look at God the Father. God the Father Almighty. God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Open our eyes to the beauty of God. May the Holy Spirit help us to understand knowledge that is unsurpassable. I pray. Amen. Now you may have seen the congressman who ended his prayer recently with amen and a woman. Now, first of all, amen, the word amen has nothing to do with gender. It's a Hebrew word to start with. It worked its way into Latin, but it means may it be so. When we say amen at the end of a prayer, we're just saying may this prayer be so. If you say amen during a sermon, you're saying may it be so. It has nothing to do with men. It has nothing to do with women. On top of this, perhaps you saw that the new House of Representative rules state that you aren't supposed to use pronouns like father and mother, but only use parent. So you can see that the phrase God the Father is a cultural issue. Add to this our cultural epidemic of absentee fathers, abusive fathers, addicted fathers, and you can understand the controversy. God, however, is not like those fathers. They should be like Him. In fact, listen to this next statement carefully. God is not like a father. God is the Father. There's a big difference. The Bible says God is like a lot of things. God is like a rock. God is like a shield. He's like a light. He's like a bird. He's even like a mother. But God isn't like a father. God is Father. He is God the Father. He is not God the Mother. Father is not just a metaphor for God. It is His name. It is His proper name. And I think we see it in our text here. And I think we're going to look at this at three different levels. First of all, God is the Father. God is the Father. Look at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. God is the God who names Himself. Christians believe in the self-revelation of God. In other words, Christians believe that God is too great. God is too... His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's too massive that unless He chooses to reveal Himself, we cannot know Him. Now He's revealed Himself first through creation, through the universe, through the prophets, through His Word, and through His Son. But this is the self-revelation of God. So in other words, we wouldn't know anything about God unless He has chosen to reveal it to us. So what He chooses to reveal is important because He wants us to know it. I have many questions about God that I don't know the answer to because He has not chosen to reveal those answers to me. Now, someday He will. Someday I will know what I need to know, what I want to know. I know what I need to know now. Someday I will... Thank you. God is the God who names Himself. God has revealed Himself as God the Father. God is the God who likes His name, by the way. Keep your hand here. Go to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Look at verse 3. God is the God who names Himself. He has revealed Himself. He has revealed Himself as God the Father. He is a God who likes His name. Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before Me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children and on the third and fourth generations of those who hate Me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love Me and keep My commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes His name in vain. Those are very severe words. We better make sure we call God by the right name. To not call God by the right name is to make an idol. And we're to have no idols. And we are not to take His name in vain. To replace the biblical name or names for God is to create a false idol. To replace the biblical names for God is to create an idol, a false god. Now, I understand, in the Old Testament, God called Himself by many names. El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Adonai, Elohim, the Great I Am. All these names are given to show that God is a relatable God. They're personal. And the most personal of the names is Father. So I believe in God, the Father, who is also Almighty. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Now, He's not just an ordinary God. You notice in Exodus 20, you shall have no other gods, little g, before Me. Okay, there's one God, big G, false gods, little g. Someone was being quizzed once on their theology, and they said, do you believe in God? And they said, yes. And they said, well, what God? And they said, well, just the ordinary God. Well, our God is not an ordinary God. He's Almighty. When it says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, it means I believe in His almighty attributes. I believe in His omniscience. He knows everything. I believe in His omnipotence. He can do anything that He desires. I believe in His omnipresence. He can be anywhere at any time or at the same time. Because He's God the Father Almighty. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus reveals to us a name for God that embraces every feature of who God is. Matthew 11:27 says, "All things have been handed over to me," this is Jesus speaking, "by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him." So the Son reveals to us the Father. Okay, and again, this is part of God's self-revelation. He sent his Son, who's the exact representation of the Father, he sent his Son to reveal what we need to know about God. And you'll notice that Jesus calls him Father. Okay, Jesus calls him Father. God is Father. Jesus is Son. Father, Son is how the two relate. God has chosen to name himself Father and identify as masculine. We see this from the personal pronouns that he uses to address himself, or that Jesus used to address him. It's he, it's his, it's him. Masculine pronouns. Because he identifies as masculine. Now, I want to make this clear, okay, and I think you can understand without me going into too much detail, but God is a spirit. Therefore, he has no physical parts. All right? He has no physical parts. So he's not physically male or female. He's a spirit. But he is masculine. He's chosen to identify as masculine. And this is important. Even in the Old Testament times, and in New Testament times, and in today, there have always been female deities. Okay, there in the Old Testament time, there were female deities who were worshipped. God could have included that if he so chose. In fact, some liberal denominations, perhaps you've seen this in the past, have suggested that we need to broaden the use of God's name. We talk about the Trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But they think that's too exclusive. That's problematic. So they have started using, instead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Son with the U and light and burning ray. Or overflowing fount, living water, flowing river. Or compassionate mother, beloved child, life-giving womb. Now let me tell you what that is. That's a new religion. That's a false religion. Because God has revealed himself as Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 15. Ephesians 3:15. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Okay, now, the first statement here, the first point is God is the Father. Now we said, the creed says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. When we say God is the Father, we mean he's the Father of creation. He's the Father of all men. He is the creator. He is the maker of heaven and earth. So in that area, he is the Father of everybody, because we're all created by God. Okay? As our creator, then, if he is the maker of heaven and earth, then we are answerable to him, because he has the final say. So God is our creator. Therefore, God created us as he chose to create us. In his image. Right? Male and female, he created them. Men are made in the image of God. Women are made in the image of God. But he created us with gender. Genesis 1:27. No, it's not on there. I apologize. Male and female, he created them. Well, look up Genesis 1:27, okay? My mistake. I don't want to misquote it. Although I already quoted it. Genesis 1:27. God created man, and then there that he means mankind, okay? God created mankind in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Okay, so mankind is male and female by God's design, by God's creation. Okay? So in that respect, God is the Father of every family in heaven and on earth. We derive our name, if you will, from him. Okay? Secondly, God is our Father. God is our Father. Look at verse 17 and 18. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being grounded, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Okay? So you'll notice out of verse 15, all these families that make up heaven and earth, there's a distinct group which he calls the saints. Verse 18. That you may comprehend with all the saints. So there's a division here. All right? There's everyone who's been created by God. And then there are saints. And they're saints because of faith in Christ. You can see that in the passage. But in this respect, God is our Father. Now, by creation, he is God of everyone, Father of everyone. But by salvation, he is our Father. Matthew 6, 7 through 9. Again, Jesus, who, as we saw, was given the responsibility of revealing us the Father, right? Revealing the Father to us. So when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard with their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So here's Jesus. Now, Jesus is telling you, here's how to pray to God, right? Pray then in this way. Our compassionate mother. Our bubbling brook. Our blazing sun. Our Father. That's what he said to pray. Jesus, who revealed God to us, said, you know, he's got a name, and when you pray to him, go ahead and use his name, Father. The New Testament name for God, if you will, the God we worship is Father. Father is the Christian name for God. Father is the Christian name for God. Galatians 4, 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Again, because we're sons, now he's our Father. Yes, he's the Father of all creation, but he's our Father because of the work of the Spirit of Christ in us. He has adopted us. He has made us sons, and now he is our Father. We relate to him in a particular way because of what he did. He is our Father. By his creative power, he is the Father of all. By his saving power, he is our Father. Men and women alike are the sons of God. Because we are in the Son. So, yes, even women are called the sons of God because it had a specific title, a specific meaning. But it's just like when men are in the church and the church is called the Bride of Christ. Right? Because that's a specific meaning. It's not meant to exclude people or eliminate people. If you're in the church, man or woman, you're in the Bride of Christ. If you're in the Son, man or woman, you're a son of God. You're now sons because you've been adopted. Again, it's a specific act of God. 1 John 2:23. This is very sobering words here. Whosoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Now, as I had mentioned last week, we're talking about the creed. And as we go through each point here, and as we read through it, we divided it up into eight segments. It's 8 weeks we're going to look at. This week is the first one. But I mentioned, you know, they're all going to be controversial probably. And this one, God the Father is controversial because it says if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. You understand that? If you don't have the Son of God, if you don't worship Christ, if you don't have faith in Christ, you don't have the Father. So those religions that would exclude Jesus being, as we'll see next week, our only Lord and Savior, they don't have the Father. They're not worshiping the God. They're worshiping a God, maybe, but not the God. Thirdly, God is my Father. God is my Father. Verse 19, Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, as you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. God is my Father. Now, God is the Father of all creation. God is our Father of those who are saved. But God is my Father. Because I'm in the Son. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. He is my Father. What a great love He has bestowed on me to call me a child of His and on you. 8 years ago, my earthly father went to heaven. I miss him. He was a good dad. He was not perfect. But I'm not a perfect dad either. But I do have a perfect dad. I have a perfect father. He's in heaven. And I can pray to him. And he loves me. He cares for me. God is not just the creator of all mankind, or the father of man, if you will. He is the Father of all who believe, and He can be your Father if you have the Son. If you have the Son. So, God is not like a father. God alone defines what true fatherhood means. Earthly fathers don't determine how God the Father acts. God the Father is to determine how earthly fathers act. Let's pray. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We pray to you, Father. We pray in the power of the Holy Spirit using the name of Jesus. We come in the name of Christ. Christ is our intercessor. Christ has made the way. We can enter into your presence because of Christ. A.W. Tozer said that how we think about God is the most important thing about us. The creed calls us to think clearly about God. We could say, well, we worship God. What God? Which God? How has God revealed Himself? What did He tell us about Himself? How should we respond to that? So, Lord, again, to say that I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, is a very broad statement. It should impact a lot of decisions. It shows me a worldview in which I need to think about things and filter things. So, Lord, our purpose for the next 8 weeks is to know what we believe. to know what we believe, because again, what we believe, what we ought to believe, will determine when hard times come if we really mean it or not. Lord, we want to really mean it. I pray. Amen.